The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Caroline, Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. It is NHL trade deadline day. The NHL trade deadline is today at 2 p.m., and the Predators have made some moves. Yesterday, the Predators traded a fifth-round pick in exchange for Anthony Beauvillier from the Chicago Blackhawks, and just now, over the last few minutes or so, Jason Zucker from the Arizona Coyotes. It was reported that the Predators traded a sixth-round pick for him. I saw that of his $5.3 million yearly salary, the Predators owe him $1.15. So, OBB, Open Book Barry, who will join Stillman & Company this afternoon on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game post-trade deadline. I'm going to have to start calling him MB, Macklemore Barry, because he's thrift shopping.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
Ain't nothing. I have zero problem with it whatsoever. If they work out, they give you some opportunities, some offense, then great. If they don't, you know, let him go. It was a fifth and a sixth round pick, so no problem with it whatsoever. We'll keep you updated with any more moves that the Predators may or may not make until 2 p.m. But I want to transition here to the Titans. We'll also have Ask D-Mace in 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So we were talking about L'Jarius Sneed a couple of days ago because it was reported by our friend Tyler Dragon, a friend of the show, that the Titans were reportedly interested in kicking the tires on Kansas City Chiefs cornerback L'Jarius Sneed. But the holdup there is the Chiefs tagged L'Jarius Sneed but gave him permission to seek a trade. Mm-hmm. So if the Titans want L'Jarius Sneed, they're going to have to trade for him. And if we talked to Tim Hasselbeck yesterday, he said, I think it's going to be a first-round pick. If I have to trade a first-round pick, no thank you, on L'Jarius Sneed. The Titans just frankly are not in the position to be trading any sort of first-round picks. And frankly, I don't think I'm really in the business of trading any of the Titans' picks in this upcoming draft, especially not a pick that the Chiefs would want in exchange for L'Jarius Sneed. And I think that absolute minimum, it would be a second-round pick. So what other trade assets do the Tennessee Titans truly have?
Not many.
And how willing would you be to trade Treylon Burks in a trade package for a player like L'Jarius Sneed?
I mean, beside Treylon, I don't think they have much to trade, because the guys that you believe they can get something for, they're core guys that you need on this team.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Simmons, the quarterback, Skoronski, even D-Hop, you need him this season. So he's not really an attractive trade piece in the sense of, if you give him away, now you're one less pass catcher.
And also, what are you getting in return?
Exactly, absolutely.
For DeAndre Hopkins, that
you're not going to get much.
I would need a first-round pick to trade DeAndre Hopkins. You're not getting that.
You're not getting a first or a second for a trade like that. But would I trade... put Treylon in the trade package with for L'Jarius Sneed? Yeah, I mean, you have to, because you're trading for a all-pro player. You're trading for a guy that many consider, a top two, 3 corner in this league. He may be the top corner in this league, or at least in free agency is.
Top free agent. I'm not even a free agent.
Yeah.
But top corner potentially on the market.
On the market is him by far. It's him. So, you know, you have to. If Kansas City approached you, or you approached Kansas City and inquired about Ladarius Snead, which I'm sure Rand Carthon has or will, then you have no other pieces to potentially give other than picks, Traylon, and that's really about it, because the other guys are your corner. Your team doesn't have depth whatsoever, so you don't have pieces you can trade. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not trading Harold Landry, you know. So who else do you trade? The only person that seems to be a tradable piece is Traylon.
Before, it seemed fairly
I'm not advocating for him to be traded either.
But I think that you could view him as a potentially tradable asset. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think, at least I am not, looking at Traylon Burks as, okay, this is where his role is going to be on this team this upcoming season, because I don't think that you can. Mm-hmm. It now seems fairly obvious to me, you know, it hasn't happened, but it seems fairly obvious to me that Chris Jones is going back to the Chiefs. So the one scenario that I could have seen the Titans trading Jeffrey Simmons is if you trade Jeffrey Simmons for a couple of first-round picks, you go out and you sign Chris Jones, you trade your defensive tackle to bring in another defensive tackle, and frankly, probably upgrade at the defensive tackle position. But now that that seems like it's off the table, I'm not looking to trade Jeffrey Simmons. But when it comes to Legarius Sneed, and this is something that I brought up on Jared versus Joe, mm-hmm. said, what do the Chiefs need desperately? Receivers. They need pass catchers. Now, what does the league view Traylon Burks as? Frankly, I don't know. Like, what would you think that you could get in exchange for Traylon Burks? I said possibly a 5th-round pick. Kansas City's going to want
more
than that.
I'm hanging on to Burks.
You would?
5th-round pick?
If you, yeah.
No. There's too much. There's still enough flash to me with Burks.
I see.
To give him up for a 5th.
If I can't. Well, I wouldn't give him up for a 5th. I'm just talking about value, maybe how the league would view him. I'm not trading him for a 5th-round pick. But if I could trade him for another position of need, it would be Burks in another pick. Mm-hmm. Like if it was Burks in a 3rd for Legarius Sneed.
Well, you have no 3rd. So
but that's just a hypothetical.
Yeah. Okay. Tim Hasselbeck was saying that it might cost more than that. To get
I mean, Kansas City's going to ask for more.
Right. And so it depends on who's calling, exactly. How many teams are calling. Can you pit one against the other? Mm-hmm. You guys keep going down this road of Snead. I am just not on board with this. They're not ready to win. One guy isn't mm-hmm. going to help enough. I know what your argument is. He will help the defense. Mm-hmm. But I think what you guys are saying is he's not just a one-year deal. He's going to help you for
the next several years.
But if you're giving up if you're giving up a lot to get him and you're paying him top dollar, I just think the formula is too much. It's too top heavy for your roster. This roster needs more depth and players across the roster, not in the one spot. That's how I look at it.
You could sign more than just Legarius Sneed.
But it would take up a lot of your pieces of the pie. He takes up a big slice of the pie if you're going to, because he's going to want top dollar. That's what struck me with Tim yesterday. Is okay. So if he's playing on the tag this year,
mm-hmm. uh-huh. you would have to pay him.
He wants to reset the market. He's going to be one of the top corners in the NFL. That's huge. That's a lot of money. That's a big investment.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have a problem with that. I mean, you have the cash to spend.
Well, okay, but it's one player, so he's got to dominate. Mm-hmm. If he gets hurt, and you have no depth behind him, then see what I'm saying. Are you better off with those assets to one guy? Or spreading them out and with younger players trying to acquire more draft picks and fortify the fact. Like, I just think it's a house of cards.
Picks.
It's too top heavy with him in there. And there's not enough of a foundation under him to have the kind of success that makes him worth it. That's how I look at it. So I am out of this game. I am not in this game.
I'm not giving it up because I think he's too good of a player, and especially at a position of need that could potentially be on the market. And I hear you, Willie. I hear you. But the Titans are now in this position because they continue to try to plug holes with low-cost kind of players that
It's going to take time. That's where they are. They're in the bot. This is a rebuilding project.
But if you continue to do the same thing over and over again, you're going to continue to find yourself in the same position, trying to find low cost players.
Not if you keep drafting.
Break
well.
The bank. Well, you don't have enough draft picks. Like you need a team this year.
Okay, so that's to me the answer is get more draft picks.
How?
Well, you have to wait. I mean, you have to wait, and it's going to take more than just this year to fix all of the holes. That's how I keep coming back to it. And in the meantime, I think it's a see what you've got kind of year. Going for Snead is a let's see if we can fix everything in one fell swoop, and I don't think he does. I still don't think you have enough depth across the roster to win, even with him.
Now, you're
the
one thing not that one player away.
D-Mace makes a good point that if he can be part of the next 4 years. But I just wonder, with Simmons making what he's making and what Snead would be making, is there enough left over asset-wise to go fill the left tackle, the center, the other things you need?
If you spend your money, because you're right, they're going to have to allocate it however they're going to allocate it in regards to the positions. But if you're able to draft your left tackle, so that saves you money because you don't have to give him big bucks. You draft another receiver, that saves you money. Now you can spend money on one big free agent. Not to say that you got to go and try to get every top free agent, because realistically that's not going to happen. But if you can get one of these top free agents and then supplement everything else because you don't have to pay these guys yet. You're not going to have to pay your left tackle unless you go get one in free agency, which you will, but you're not going to have to pay him top money because he's going to be more of a, I believe, more of a swing tackle, right tackle that can possibly play left if something happens at that position in regards to injury. You can slide him over to the left side and sort of play like that. But I think the two positions they're going to have to pay for if they want that top-notch guy. Now, there are some cornerbacks out there in free agency, that may be a little bit cheaper than what Ladarius Snead, because, like you said, you got to give up the picks and then you got to pay them. But if you can supplement it everywhere else, get you that top guy at that one position that's going to help, and then you kind of pay everybody accordingly. I think they're going to need a one top free agent. Now, whether they get that one top free agent, that's a different story. But I do think they need one.
Who would you classify as a top free agent?
Chris Jones is a top free agent. The kid out of Miami is a top free agent. Let me see who else is out there. Christian Wilkins. Other than the quarterbacks that are top
free agents. So a top free agent at the right position without giving up additional draft capital to get. See, that's the difference in Snead to me. It's not only are you going after
a
guy,
you're
giving up something pretty significant to get him. That's why I'm out. Now, a top-level free agent is a different thing. Mm-hmm. Because another thing that I think you're saying, D-Mace, is if you get a guy like that and he's worth the money, even if you're saying I'm overpaying a little bit, but he's going to fill a big hole. Also, that guy can become a magnet for other free agents if it works right. Because you're like, oh, so-and-so. D-Mace went over to the Titans. Oh, I want to play for the Titans. I do think there's a little bit to be said for that, right? There's a domino effect. And maybe there's more. It's not like, oh, they're just trying to be cheap here and there. Like sometimes a spearhead of, yeah, let's get this guy. We're paying good money. And this guy is going to help. Maybe he's going to be a good influence on the younger players. And he's also going to be the type of player that maybe can be a magnet to attract other good players in the coming years.
That happens, and you're right, because that happens a lot in the NFL. Or that happens a lot in sports in regards to free agent signings. They see who's on the team already, or they see, oh, he signed? Okay.
Let me take a closer look.
Really go there and see what's going on over there, because you start to see the potential of what that team could do go up. Prior to that person not signing, you probably thought, I ain't touching that team. But then they start signing. They get you. You get your top free agent. Then you get you a bunch of other sort of like guys that can fit in places that are not going to cost you a lot, but they can be starters. Now you got guys that may get released that are still really good players in June. They may look, oh, okay, y'all have him. Y'all drafted that. That might be a good place for me.
you're still going to have to pay the Titan tax.
Yeah.
The non-contender tax.
Yeah. I'm not.
In free agency,
you may have to, but let's not get it twisted. These guys want money. They want money. When it comes down to it, they want money. And you're not going to, I don't think, realistically, guys in going into free agency, they're not saying, even though there could be a possibility, but from my experience, I'm not saying, well, you got to pay more because your team's not good. I don't want to go to your team if your team's not good and I'm at the latter part, like the second half of my career. I'm like, I don't want to touch it unless I see there's something there. Like when I left here and went to Baltimore, there was a lot there. So I knew like my second half of my career, this is a good place for me to go because I would get an opportunity to win. The Titans have to make sure this offseason, this draft, that they set this team up to win because other free agents are going to be looking at that, not just this year, but next year as well. They're going to be looking at how are you constructing your team.
So last year the Titans spent $230 million in that area on the roster. Right now in terms of cash spending currently on the roster, they're at $123,646,237. So you got over about $100 million of cash to spend. Mm-hmm. And when you look at it, you could say, well, you could spread that money around. But I look at it like how I build my closet. Like, am I going to want to spend $10 on this T-shirt that's probably going to get holes in it after the first few wears? Or am I willing
Wait, we just got to talk about spend, Macklemore.
Yeah, am I willing shop. To spend $100 on a T-shirt that I know is I can wear all the time and it's going to launder well, I'm going to have it for a long time, and it's going to benefit me? That's how I view the Titans. Of look, you can spend, you know, a small contract here, a small contract here, a small contract here on a couple of players that you feel like, you know, maybe they'll play for us. Maybe we can hope that they can do things for us. Or we can spend that money on really good players at certain positions. And you're not going to spend a ton of money, top dollar, on every single free agent at positions of need. You're going to have to spend on certain positions.
Yeah, but your analogy assumes to a degree that when you spend top dollar, you're getting a great player, but that's not the case in unrestricted free agency in the NFL.
But you're going to have to spend top dollar to get great players. Spending top dollar on
players. But free agents are flawed players, right?
And that's inherently what free agency is.
Yeah.
You're not going to spend top dollar on players that you don't think are going to be great.
You're overpaying for the sweater that you're
going to
wear a lot.
I'm not going to overpay for a sweater that's going to fall apart in a couple of weeks, or that's not a guaranteed staple in my closet.
But that's what you're paying for first day free agency sometimes. Sometimes those guys don't end up being... They're used goods. They're past their prime. Like, that's why their former team is letting them become free agents.
But there are free agents out there that might just be too expensive for certain teams. You got the cash to spend. You have $100 million in cash to spend. Mm-hmm. Like, if the Chiefs didn't want to pay Chris Jones what he wanted, like, that is a free agent that I'm willing to overspend for because you know what you're going to get. Looking at some of these free agents out there, like Tre'Davious White in Buffalo. I'm not going to spend $20 million a year on Tre'Davious White because he's always hurt mm-hmm. and has been hurt every single season the last 4 years. Like that's just not a smart way to allocate some of your funds. Ask D-Mace mm-hmm. coming up next. We'll get your questions for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace. Get those questions in for Derek Mason. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sam in Atlanta is on the line with a question on free agency in the NFL. What's up, Sam?
ATL.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, I had a question in regards to what you were speaking earlier about the free agency, the closet term that you were using. I think that's interesting. In regards to that, I think like you could get a few good expensive pieces in regards to a closet, and then supplement everything else with cheaper clothes. And that way, when you're on the field, you look like you're doing something. In a sense, you look like you have your pieces together. So I think they really should at least go for three or four big name free agents, and especially on the defensive side, and then supplement like the rest of the offense in the draft.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Sam.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it from Atlanta. And he's right. And you know, when you talk about pieces, I learned this from my daughter. That you got to have pieces in your closet.
Investment pieces.
Yeah, investment pieces. And you sort of build around those pieces where you spend on that one piece. You may spend, you know, I don't know, $1,000 on a jacket, you know, but then you spend, you know, $20 on a T-shirt to put under the jacket.
And
you know,
have sport coat.
And it'll look like everything looks great on because the main piece is sturdy, ready to go, looks good, performs good. Everything's great about it. But then what's underneath is the other pieces that you'll supplement. They're good pieces as well. But you don't have to pay as much for those pieces than you do for that one piece.
And in the NFL salary cap, even though there's flexibility, right, it's not a hard cap like there is in hockey, somewhere in your wardrobe you have to have bargains, right? Yeah. Whether they're low-round picks or undrafted free agents that fill holes, or free agents off the street, or
like Juwan Jennings bargain in San Francisco.
But you need bargains. Yeah. You need some bargains in there because you can't go spend $1,000 on every piece of clothing because you don't have enough money. You can't do it.
But to D-Maze's point, I think Juwan Jennings in San Francisco is the one that always comes to mind of, was he drafted even? If he was, it was like a sixth or a seventh round pick. But would Juwan Jennings have as much production as he has had if Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk weren't on the other side? I would venture to say probably not. So you need those investment pieces. But like you said, Willie, you can't pay every single player on your roster $40 million a year. But it's investing in the right players. It's paying the right players. But that's also San Francisco, a Super Bowl contender. The Titans are in a point right now that – like, you're going to have to overspend. Like, you're going to have to overpay for certain players. One, it's the non-contender tax. Because, like, we were talking about this yesterday, D-Maze. If I'm Chris Jones, let's say the Titans have $35 million a year on the table, but the Chiefs are saying, hey, we'll give you 30. I'm going to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Because I can still make my money, and I'm still going to have the opportunity to win a Super Bowl every single year. So if you're the Titans, you're going to have to pony up a little bit more cash. And you also just need players.
Unless, you know, because some free agents, you just never know, especially a guy like Chris Jones, who's won three Super Bowls, and now he may look at it a little bit different.
Maybe he just wants the money.
Maybe he just wants to get as much money as he possibly can, because the one thing or the three things that he has, can't no one take him away, and that's the Super Bowl ring. So, and Juwan Jennings was a seventh-round pick for the San Francisco 49ers.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, you know, it's going to – I would love to see, you know, next week how aggressive, at least on the first day, they're going to be. I'm not talking aggressive meaning different players, but are they going to be aggressive with one or two guys and make a push at those one or two guys for the big dollar? And if they don't get them, it's like, okay, let's regroup. Now let's start just filling holes with good players and adding depth.
Tim is on the line with a question on Vandy B-Ball. WWDD, what would Derek do? What's up, Tim?
Hey, how are you? Derek, look, I'm going to make a statement before I ask. You're a pro athlete, and I'm not going to say former, because once you're an athlete and a pro athlete, you're that way until you die. You have a different mindset than the general public. Say you are coaching a team. Jerry don't care anymore. You can tell it by the way he's coaching. Why do you keep doing it? Why does he keep doing it? Somebody says it's for the money. He's got more money than he can burn a wet dog with. He don't need the money.
I don't think I've heard that one.
I like that one.
How can that be a situation to where he gets any enjoyment out of getting his, you know what, beat every day. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for your call, Tim.
Thanks for your call, Tim. I'm not going to go as that far to say he doesn't care because, you know, like you said, Tim, athletes, whether you are a current athlete or you are a, you know, former athlete, which you're still an athlete, or you are a CEO of a company, that ego is there. And you always want to go out there and win no matter what. I don't care how the circumstance look. You feel that you are the one that can get it done. You are the one that can change it around for everybody. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it doesn't. I'm not going to sit here and say that Coach Stack doesn't care. I just wonder, how did this team fall off so far? Like, this was a team that seems like they were trending up last season. And we were arguing about them. They should have made the tournament. Look at their strength of schedule. All this stuff that we were talking about with the Vanderbilt men's basketball team. And to go from that to what they are now, that's what, like, how did that happen? But it all falls on the head coach because you went out and got those players. Now, whether he gets fired, I don't know. But if I'm an AD, I'm trying to figure out, like, how did this happen? We need to sit down and have a conversation. How did this happen? And can it be changed? I'm asking him that question, and I'm asking the other people that have authority to make decisions, can it be changed? And if it can, then okay. But if the consensus says no, then I guess we got to move on.
And I don't know if Jerry Stackhouse indeed does not
care. Yeah, I'm not going to say he doesn't care because he's I think he cares.
But the fact that people feel that
That's
the damning thing. Mm-hmm. And
I think that's where he probably, even though he may not ever have that thought, he might. He's probably sitting. We've played the press conferences where he's gotten a little testy on that stuff. You know, he's like, how can you say this kind of stuff? I do think just because people are asking this question, he probably needs to go off and say, okay, why are people feeling this way about me? You know, what can I do to maybe change this perception? Even though I might not, he might be sitting there, of course I care.
Exactly.
Why do you think I'm doing this? You know, like the caller says, he's made, it's not like he's, you know,
hungry for money.
Right. He's been a successful professional for a long, long time, right?
You've got more money than you can burn a wet dog with? I don't even know what that means.
I never heard that.
It sounds good.
But I do think he could turn around and say, okay, if people are thinking this, what do I need to do to kind of reassure people that, yes, I am going to get this thing done, and including starting with probably the athletic director, Candace Story Lee, because like you said, she's got to sit down and say, tell me how this is going to be better next year. If I'm going to keep you around, you got to tell me it's going to be a heck of a lot better this year because we have slipped to almost the bottom. Mm-hmm. They are at the bottom.
Prove it to me.
It's not an easy league to climb up from the bottom from.
This is one of the most, if not the most, competitive leagues in college basketball. But I look at what Lamont Paris did at South Carolina. Mm-hmm. South Carolina was horrendous last year. They were picked to finish 14th last in the conference this season. Now South Carolina, there is still an opportunity for South Carolina to tie the regular season SEC championship. Like, South Carolina is a very good team. So you can turn it around. But it's how much faith do you have in the head coach to find the right players to start turning things around. So prove it to me. Show it to me. You can tell me all day long that you care. And I think that you do. Prove it to me. Show the fan base. Because the fan base clearly is checked out.
Yeah, they are. If we have people, and I'm sure across our shows, there are people concerned and have the same sentiment, whether it be texting or calling. And if that is indeed the case, if I'm, Candace Lee, I'm like, how did we get here?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Another texter texts in, says, D-Mace, TD said you trained Darnell Mooney before he was drafted. Did you?
Yeah, I trained over at Boost. They have a great facility over there where they do combine training for individuals, and some pro guys do go over there as well. I love Mooney. When I was training him, he was easy to train because all of the twos were there. Mm-hmm. He was smooth, good body control. He had a burst of speed. I'm not sure if he has long speed, but he has good speed, you know, and he catches the ball well. Really good route runner. Really good route runner. That's what I admire most about him, his route running. So I, if I'm the Titans, and now the tricky part is Tank Tolbert coached him in Chicago. If Tank Tolbert doesn't vouch for him, then we don't, you don't need to have him here, because the coach that coached him, if I'm not then vouching for him, like, you need to go get him, coach. Yeah. Like, he'd be an asset for us. If he's not saying that, then something went wrong in that receiver room. I do wonder, why did he drop off? I know they had different coaches, different offensive coordinators. The offensive line was horrible. Fields was, you know, up and down. It wasn't mainly because of Field, but because of what was in front of him. I want to know, why did his production slip so much? You went from, you know, your first year, you started to show flashes. Then your second year, you became that guy. You had over 1,000 yards, and it seemed like you were moving up. Like, you were going to be, you know, probably not the top tier of receivers, the top five or seven, but you could have played your way into that 8 to 15 type of receiver. What happened? Why did your production drop off so much? I know you were injured some, but you went from 1,000 yards to 400 yards to another 400-yard season. That, and you were a starter. That's, I need to know why. But I like him as a player. I'm sure he has a really good work ethic. So I would, if not the Titans, I'm talking to his representatives, because he's another good pass catcher.
What would his role be? What should his role be?
Listen, the good thing about Mooney is he's seen both ends of the spectrum, sort of like me. He's been the forgotten guy, or the guy that wasn't the one or the two, and, you know, he was that three or maybe even a four, to being the one, you know. So he has a good perspective on both ends. I see him as a two. He can play one if you need him to play. If someone's injured, he can be a one, but it's not. He's sort of like a Corey Davis. Like, Corey can be a one if you need him for a couple of games, but he's really a two, like a legit. He's a two that can, as he gets older, that can segue into a three and a four, or a four. But right now, he has the ability to be a two if you got a damn good one. Like, if Treylon Burks was on his game, adding Mooney, those two guys would work well together because they're two different type of receivers.
Right back into your questions for D-Mace. Ask D-Mace continues coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow as MTSU men's basketball takes on Louisiana Tech on the road. Ask D-Mace. Get those questions in for Derek Mason, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Before we get back into your phones, a little bit more NHL trade deadline news. This is coming out from Elliot Friedman here just a few moments ago. Philadelphia has traded Wade Allison to Nashville in exchange for Denis Gurianov. Sounds like AHL swapping back and forth.
It's more of a depth move. Gurianov played last night for the Predators. He hadn't been playing much. They took a flyer on him, low-cost free agent, one-year deal last year. He's only got one goal. Just hasn't really found his place. I don't know, I'll be honest, anything about Wade Allison. I'm just looking at his numbers. He was a second-round pick. He hasn't played in the NHL this year. He played 60 games for the Flyers last year and had 9 goals and 6 assists. So I would imagine he's a depth piece and nothing more. And I think Gurianov, they've got other options now with Zucker and Bevilier and the kid, Jarrett Anderson Dolan, that they picked off of waivers. So I think they feel like they've got, plus the Milwaukee guys, way more options before they would use Gurianov. So they're giving him a fresh start in Philly.
Makes sense to me. I don't have any problem with that. All right, let's get back into some of your questions for D-Mace. One texter texts in and says, D-Mace, which do you think is more intimidating, being an NFL free agent or going through the NFL draft?
Depends on where you're at in your career when you become a free agent. Because if you have not, put together a good resume, then free agency can be intimidating because it's like, okay, where am I going to go? Who wants my services? Am I going to be a part of the first wave of free agency? Am I going to be a part of the second wave? Or do I have to wait till somebody get injured, in camp and then get on the team? Obviously, being a rookie entering a draft, there's a lot of things going on. Where would I go? Where am I going to spend the next at least 3 years of my life? Who's going to draft me? What position am I going to get drafted? So I think there's some similarities in being a rookie, getting drafted, and being a free agent. But it depends on the free agency side. It depends on how good your resume is. If you have a resume like Chris Jones, you're like, it don't matter. I know I'm going somewhere. And I'm going to get a big old bag to go to that place. So I'm not too worried. But if you're a guy that doesn't have the resume of a Chris Jones, now you're like, man, when am I going to go? When am I going to sign? And where am I going to sign?
That, I think, is the really the kicker there. Because mm-hmm. a guy like Chris Jones, he can go wherever he wants.
Exactly.
And he's going to get paid a whole lot of money no matter where he is. Mm-hmm. But I do think no matter where you are in your career as a free agent, you at least have that underlying comfort of, I've made some money.
Yeah.
In the draft, that's scary.
Well,
you're not having any control of where you're going.
Some people get NILs.
That's true. That's true.
Some NIL deals is worth more than some guys making their 3 years as a rookie. The first year, second year, third year, depending on where you drafted. If you're drafted in the fifth and on, Caleb Williams has made more money than you in the last 2 years. So it's just.
Yep. I mean, Caleb Williams makes significantly more money than Brock Purdy.
Exactly.
And Brock Purdy was quarterbacking the Super Bowl team this past year. Just absolutely crazy. Another texture takes in says, D-Mace, was it more difficult to play in the NFL or pronounce some of these hockey players' names?
Oh, my goodness. I don't even try. I defer to Willie when it comes to pronouncing those guys. I got to hear it like 10 times before I even come close to trying to pronounce it. But
Willie says them so gracefully.
Exactly.
There are zero vowels.
But what I've noticed with Willie, it's just Willie just says it, and if it's wrong, which he's not wrong 99% of the time, he's right. But if it is wrong that 1%, he just go with it. It's like, hey, just keep talking, and people will forget that you said you said the name wrong or you missed part of the name. People are not worried about that. Maybe the guy that has that name is, if you hear you say it, but listen, playing in the NFL was damn hard. That's why only a few play that sport that goes along with hockey, baseball, basketball, and I'm just talking about the team sports. There's a reason why, out of 1,700 kids that come out every year, in the NFL, it's probably a little bit less. I'm just saying 1,700 as a number, that only 1% of those guys stick. Mm-hmm. It's because it's hard. And just imagine, on the flip side, basketball is even worse because there's not a lot of seats. Baseball is bad, too. There's just not a lot of seats. Hockey is the same way. You ain't cracking that starting lineup unless somebody get hurt. You're not even cracking the fourth line unless somebody gets hurt or somebody's playing terrible. And then you better be playing really good in Milwaukee or some other, league, minor league that you're playing in.
Yeah.
Well, team in a minor league system. You better be doing damn good because you may only get one shot at coming up and proving your worth in the MLB as well as the NHL. Now, football and basketball are not – basketball does have the – D-League, but it's not like the NHL and the MLB.
Yeah, I mean, playing the minors, well, you've been through it. It's a grind.
It is a grind.
Yeah, so and you only get one shot. A lot of guys only really get one shot. And if they don't make do on that one shot, you may not ever get it again.
I do think there you really separate the people who love the game from the people that just like the game.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you get into those situations where, okay, here are your choices. You're going to play, but you're going to be in the worst conditions. You're they're not going to make it easy for you. You know, like I would imagine for an NFL guy who's constantly shuttling from practice squad to practice squad or getting cut and having to go to tryouts on a Tuesday, but keeping yourself in shape on your own, like that takes great dedication. So when a guy gets through that and makes it up there, I always take note because that's somebody who loves the game.
Yeah, he stuck with it.
Jack Texan says, D-Mace, what other suitors did you have besides the Ravens?
There was two other teams. And there could have been more, but I wanted to sign early. I signed very early in the free agency. I think I ended up signing like the first day of free agency or the second day of free agency, something like that. Because I wanted the place to go. I wanted to play for a contender. So I knew my resume was damn good and, you know, somebody was going to want me that was contending. So there were a few teams, but I went to one place. And my experience there was great. Would have loved to stay here, but it didn't happen. But my experience was great in Baltimore. I had an opportunity to, you know, be in the AFC Championship game once in the divisional round. And I was there, 6 years? We went to the playoffs 4 to 6 years I was there. So we had a nice run. But there were other teams on that list.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Appreciate everyone getting in those questions for D-Mace. But coming up next, this Tennessee basketball team, it's different. It feels different, at least. And when we get in the tournament, we'll see how different it is. But depending on what the Vols do this weekend, could their tournament path be significantly tipped in their favor? We'll get into that coming up next, since we are less than a week removed from the men's SEC tournament kicking off in Nashville next week. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.